You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProntPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Thursday edition. And the news today, the story that's dominating the news, is clearly Hurricane Florence. Now, overnight, it was downgraded from a Category 3 to a Category 2 hurricane, but that doesn't make it any less dangerous. It does mean the winds are a little bit less. The winds are at 100 miles per hour, gusting upwards of 120 miles. But when it hits land, the winds initially do the damage, and that's where you might have flying debris, and if you're outside, be injured. It's not that the wind's not unimportant, because they do damage buildings. And if you're foolish enough to be outside, many flying objects can hit you and kill you if you're that foolish. So most people stay in, especially once it hits landfall. Now, most people have been in high winds, 40, 50, 60 miles an hour. But when it gets over 75, that's when you really notice it. And one of the big things you notice, it gets very, very loud. And that's going to be happening to both South Carolina and North Carolina. It looks like it's going to hit Wilmington. The eye will hit Wilmington. It will be a little bit later. It was expected to hit later tonight into tomorrow, but it looks like it'll be definitely tomorrow in the morning. Now, what really kills people, and this is what you need to pay attention to, most fatalities due to hurricanes is not due to the wind. I'm not saying there are no fatalities due to the wind. There are, and that's mainly due because you have flying objects that they're like missiles. If they hit you, can seriously injure you and kill you. But that's not anywhere near the most deadly part. It's flooding, ladies and gentlemen. And you'll always hear what the height of the surge. And the storm surge this time is quite high. It's 9 to 13 feet. Those are the estimates. Really, anything over 3 feet, you should be getting out, because that'll flood the first floor of most houses and offices. But this is 9 to 13, so it would cover most vehicles. It would cover, unless you're really, really tall. I don't think we have many 9-foot tall people. But it'll be over your head, and then you get the problem. Vehicles, trucks will be, and anything outside will go with the water. And again, if you're foolish enough to be outside, you run the risk of being drowned or these vehicles hitting you. So it's the storm surge, especially if it's a high storm surge, that usually is responsible for approximately half of the deaths or fatalities from a hurricane. The other 25%, and this is, I think, equally important, and this means even if you're not near the coast, you could be many miles away, is flooding. Because what happens is many of these rivers will back up. As the storm surge goes inland, the rivers back up, overflow their banks, and obviously contributories to it are in turn flooded and backed up. And that's where most of the damage is done, as well as killing about another 25% that stay in their homes, thinking, oh, I've heard the phrase once, I'm going to ride it out. I'm going to ride it out, as if this is being macho. Now, I can understand why people want to protect their homes, because you do have, unfortunately, people, not that many, but enough, that will vandalize or break into houses where people have left. Because what happens is usually the police leave, the so-called first responders leave, because they can't respond to these calls, especially if you're in a flood area. It's only typically about 1 to 2 days later, when the water finally recedes, that the authorities can come back in. But you need to also be aware that when you have such a high surge, and to the extent that it gets inland, you're going to lose power. It's already reported that over 90,000 residents have lost power. And that's going to go up, and you're going to lose power for days or weeks. It's not going to be, you know, an hour or two or even a day or two. It's going to be many days, many weeks, because it's going to be widespread. You just have so many utility people, and obviously they're trying to get the power back. So if you haven't left by now, I think most of you have decided to ride it out. What you need to understand, though, this hurricane, once it hits land, it's not moving very fast. You can actually outwalk it. So it's going to stay over this area for a long period of time, and that's not good, because what is it going to be doing? It's going to be dropping a lot of rain. This is a very wet hurricane, very huge in terms of area. So initially, most of the damage and fatalities will most likely be in North and South Carolina. Then it will head inland, and no one really knows whether it'll go southwest or northwest. If it goes southwest, obviously Georgia's going to be hit. If it goes northwest, it'll be Virginia. No one can really predict the path. We just simply don't know. We can get a general idea when it's out in the ocean where it's headed. And the bottom line message, this is a huge, in terms of size, hurricane. And it's slow moving. Now it's very slow moving. So while the winds are definitely less, and as it hits land and goes inland, it'll be reduced to a Category 1 and eventually a tropical storm. But in the 1 or 2 days that it's on the East Coast, along the coast, and the adjacent areas, it's going to be dropping anywhere from 2 to 3 and maybe even 4 feet of rainfall. And in some places, that's more rain than you get in a year. And keep in mind, especially South Carolina and North Carolina, it's already soaked. They've had a lot of rain. So this is going to flood out, unfortunately, many people's residents, as well as businesses. Now, we won't be hearing about that until it really hits full force tomorrow morning. So Friday will be a very bad day, especially if you're along the coast, because you're going to get a lot of rain. Now, if you're in a situation where you're in a well-constructed building, you have emergency generators, you have fuel for them, and you're not anywhere near a potential flood, good luck, because you're on your own, and most likely will be on your own for at least 2, if not 3 days. And don't expect to be rescued in that time period. Now, after 3 or 4 days, when the storm moves northwest, the general track will be northwest, but it will go inland into the United States and then turn to the northwest. That is the historical track of these hurricanes. So many states will be getting more rain. They've already had a lot of rain, and will be getting more rain. My advice, if you haven't left, this is really your last chance. Leave now, if you can, because some of the people have to cross bridges that have been closed. You need to be very deliberate about this. I don't think you earn any respect or, let's say, bragging rights by staying. I think you need to be very rational about this. You need to understand what you're dealing with. And it's the water that kills. 3/4 or more are killed by water, not the winds. Now, if it was a Category 3 or 4, especially a 4, the winds would be a much bigger killer. But this isn't. It's a Category 2, and once it's on land for several hours, it'll be downgraded to Category 1 and eventually a tropical storm. It's the rain, the continuous rain for several days, 2, 3, 4 days of continuous rain. That's how you get the rain measured in feet, not in inches, and that's what's going to happen. I'm not a weatherman, but I've listened to a lot of reports, and there are different models that are trying to determine whether it's going to go northwest or southwest. The European models tend to say it's going to go southwest. The U.S. models saying northwest. It doesn't matter. Well, if you're not there, it doesn't matter. But if you're there, you need to be paying attention. And most people have already left. I think anyone that respects the weather has left. People that are, let's say, attracted to risk are still there, and they're proud of it. And you can see news reports. I'm going to ride it out. Well, when the water gets up to 4, 5, 6 feet, and you're only 5'5", you better be in at least a two-story building. And remember, a lot of those power lines are going to be down. That's dangerous. Water and electricity don't mix. So you better be on very high ground or in a well-constructed building, multi-story, ideally on the third or higher floor, and hope that that water doesn't damage the lower floors. But most likely you won't have electricity for a while. And my prayers are for you, but you're being foolish. So leave if you haven't already. Now I'll update you as we get more information tomorrow. I've covered hurricanes before, and we'll get more information as the hurricane first lands and then moves off into the interior of the United States. And wherever it heads, you're going to get a lot of rain. And there are a lot of parts of the United States that have got a lot of rain, including Texas. Now, it's not going to hit Texas, but we've gotten a lot of rain in the last 2 months. I know. Some of it is leaking into my bathroom, but that's another story for another time. That's as much I'm going to say about the hurricane. For those that are new to the show, though, I give you a lot of additional information, and the way you get to that additional information, it's most, not all of my show prep, is to go to my companion blog for the show, which is pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com. And when you go there, under my photograph, I'm in the studio. Under my photograph, you'll see links to the most recent show, 60 to 80. I should have this show posted probably by 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock tonight. Right now, I'm broadcasting over the internet. This is a web radio station, but most of my listeners download the podcast and listen to it at their convenience, or they can actually stream it. So the most recent shows are at the very top. Underneath, I usually have photographs, charts, cartoons on the stories that I'm covering. So you'll see some information. At the time I prepared the show, this was the most recent information at the very top, and you could see what they're predicting and when they're predicting. And generally, after going initially several hundred miles inland, it's going to do a hook to the right and go northwest. That's when it's going to hit Virginia, parts of Kentucky, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey. So you're going to get more rain. Now that's going to be next week for most of those areas. So when a hurricane hits the East Coast, it's not unusual to have a dozen or more states being affected, mainly by a lot of rain. And that's the case here, because they've taken pictures of this from space, and this is a huge, in terms of size, massively huge hurricane. Fortunately, the winds are a lot lower than initially was expected. What you don't want is to be there if it's a 4 or 5, Category 4 or 5. And I have information as to the difference. It's primarily the speed of the winds. And that can be deadly, because then you have a lot of flying debris, roofs, buildings being literally wiped from their foundations. Fortunately, this time that's not the situation. If anything is going to destroy buildings, it's going to be the flooding. And this could go into Appalachia, most likely will, and could, because you have hills mountains even. You could have mudslides, landslides there as well. So why it's still a Category 2, most likely be downgraded to 1 sometime tomorrow. It's still a very dangerous situation, mainly because of the rain, the flooding, and what that brings. So again, I'm sure the prayers of the American people are with those that are definitely in harm's way. Hopefully by now you found a safe place to wait for the storm to pass over you and continue on its way before returning home. Now, I want to say briefly, every time I do this story, I can't assume that people know what I'm talking about. And the reason is because so-called mainstream media, I call it big lie media, is simply not trying to connect the dots and explain what I call the Clinton-Obama-Democrat criminal conspiracy. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm not talking collusion here. I'm talking conspiracy. We're working our way up, I would call it the chain of command, in terms of the people involved with this. And it's not only in the FBI and the Department of Justice, because that's where most of the people many have been fired. And at least, I would say, half a dozen, maybe more, are going to face criminal charges. Because a lot of their activity, you're not supposed to use government property, resources, to spy on the American people. You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to involve what's called the intelligence community. That includes the FBI, Department of Justice, the National Security Agency, the Central Intelligence Agency. There are 16 various intelligence groups, including Defense Intelligence Agency, and the services have their own, but they're also satellite imagery. The government has a lot of resources, and they should be trying to protect the United States and its people from countries and agents of countries that don't mean as well. That obviously includes Russia, Communist China, the Islamic Republic of Iran, North Korea, and many other nations. But keep in mind, only these very large nations have the resources to continually spy on the United States. And they do it all the time. But so does our Central Intelligence Agency. That's mainly human resources. But the big budgets and many people are really in the National Security Agency. We haven't heard much about their involvement in this, but they were involved, as was the CIA. So we're somewhat in the early stages, not the beginning, but towards the end of the beginning of this scandal being, and it is a scandal, it's the worst political scandal as far as I can see in United States history, because it involves the intelligence community, the various agencies of it, and we don't know the full extent of this. Names have been surfaced. Many of you know former FBI Director James Comey. He was fired by Trump. He should have been fired by President Obama on July 5th, 2016, when he exonerated Hillary Clinton for her many, many crimes in terms of destruction of evidence, which is obstruction of justice, the destruction of government records, and the mishandling of classified information. Those were the many emails on Hillary Clinton's email server. She did it to try to hide what she was doing from the American people, especially those that would use the Freedom of Information Act to request information. And it's only by accident that the House of Representatives, the committee investigating Benghazi, accidentally found out that she wasn't using Department of State computers that have more protections than her server at home certainly did. Instead, found that she was using her own email server and her own email accounts, plural, to communicate not only with the Department of State and other departments, as well as with the President of the United States. And let me add, the President of the United States lied about when he first learned of this. He said, "I learned it from the press," when the House committee disclosed it. Because what did they do once they found out about this? They subpoenaed all the documents on that server. And what did she do? She didn't preserve it. She certainly didn't send the information to the committee. She destroyed it, deliberately destroyed it. Ladies and gentlemen, that's obstruction of justice. That should be 5 years or more in prison. She deliberately did this. She lied about it. She denied, first of all, that she never received or sent classified information, but she did that. Now, I'm going over this even though the statute of limitations is run. She left the Department of State in early February of 2013. 5 years later, we're beyond February 2018. So many of her crimes, because it wasn't prosecuted, should have been prosecuted. Now you can't go after her for that. Now there might be some activity that she did as Secretary of State that the statutes are still running. It depends. But I'm not a lawyer. I'm certainly not a prosecutor. And I bring that up because Hillary Clinton was informed what the Obama administration was doing on her behalf. Now, that does that mean that Barack Obama called her up or sent her an email? No. The messenger, the whisperer, was Valerie Jarrett. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why I call it the Clinton-Obama-Democratic Party conspiracy. You see why Barack Obama would prefer almost anybody to be his successor, especially prior to 2016, and was hoping, for example, that Joe Biden would run, or for that matter, anyone would run, and take the nomination away from Hillary Clinton. He finally understood in early 2016 that that wasn't going to happen. In other words, although Hillary Clinton faced a primary challenge, and there were several, she had already lined up many of the superdelegates. She had the most money. She had the media with her. She had the Clinton network with her. So he reluctantly backed her and made it known what he was doing to help her. The big assist here was to fix the fact Hillary Clinton could not be under investigation should the Democratic Party nominate her. And it looked like that's exactly what was going to happen. Even though Bernie Sanders gave her somewhat of a run for her money, no one really expected Bernie Sanders to be on the ticket because he would lose. So in 2016, Barack Obama made sure that Hillary Clinton got out from under not one but two FBI investigations. And that's exactly what happened. Now, the key video to watch, I'm not going to play it because I played it on past shows. You can go to YouTube and you can find it. Is the James Comey July 5th, 2016 conference. It's less than 15 minutes. I dare say if you watch it, most people thought he's going to recommend prosecution, but he didn't. What he did, he went over all the evidence, and there's a lot of it, but then said no prosecutor would prosecute her because he couldn't improve intent. Well, what he forgot to tell you deliberately is, in the mishandling of classified information, you don't have to prove intent. And there were many, many prosecutors, U.S. attorneys, that would have prosecuted. It was very much a slam dunk. That's how bad it was. So James Comey, then FBI director, really exceeded authority because as FBI director, he's the policeman, investigator. He does not make the decision whether or not to prosecute or not. That is entirely up to the Department of Justice. And remember, a few weeks before, Attorney General Loretta Lynch was caught accidentally giving a heads up to Bill Clinton on the tarmac. Remember that incident? What do you think she was talking about? Golf? Her grandchildren? No. This was a heads up to tell him, don't worry, we'll clear Hillary Clinton. And then in July 5th, it was done. Now, you need to understand something. It's the FBI policy that on active investigations, and there were two in this situation, the FBI does not comment at all. Now, I support that policy. And I could see where Hillary Clinton was mad about that. And Hillary Clinton's supporters were mad. In other words, you're not supposed to say anything. And the reason for that is many investigations, you decide you either don't have enough evidence, and which means you don't pursue it, or the initial charges were false. So you don't want to hurt innocent people. So what do they normally do? Normally, if they have enough evidence, and this is, talk to any FBI agent or U.S. attorney, they'll tell you this, you impanel a grand jury, you present the evidence to the grand jury, and call people to appear and testify at the grand jury, because it's the grand jury that decides whether they're going to indict the person. It's not the FBI director, and it's not the Department of Justice. The Department of Justice relies on the FBI for the evidence. They make the decision whether or not to go forward with the evidence to the grand jury. And yes, in most cases, not all, but in most cases, if the Department of Justice wants to indict a person, it's going to happen. It's somewhat one-sided. None of that happened in the case of Hillary Clinton. In other words, the fix was in. And I always tell people, and you need to understand this, everybody has a boss. James Comey's immediate superior boss was Attorney General Loretta Lynch. Loretta Lynch's immediate boss was President Barack Obama. Neither the FBI director or the Attorney General is going to exonerate Hillary Clinton. They're not going to do it unless the President of the United States wants it. And he did. He was supporting Hillary Clinton to be his successor. And he knew that she could not be his successor if she were under FBI investigation. Keep that in mind. Everybody has a boss, and you do what your boss wants. Barack Obama did not fire James Comey after that 5 July conference. Now, it took President Trump finally fired him. And I think if Hillary Clinton was elected, she would have fired him on him at the first day. James Comey did a big favor. Now, they don't like the way he did it, by giving Hillary Clinton a pass. They still maintain they blame really a number of people, but James Comey is usually high on that list, was the reason she lost. Now, as far as I'm concerned, the reason she lost is the American people don't trust her. Today, the character of the person running, that is normally the first question most people ask. Is this a person I can trust? And if the answer is no, and if this person has a history of lying, they're not going to vote for her. And she has that history. She has that well-deserved reputation. Now, I'm giving the background. I haven't even gotten to the news story yet, but you need to understand what was going on. So part one of this criminal conspiracy was to get Hillary Clinton out from under the FBI investigation, to clear her. And it worked. I would have thought, given the election of Donald Trump, that during his first year in office, he should have revisited that entire investigation. Ultimately, the Inspector General for the Department of Justice did. The person responsible for that investigation is in the news. That's Peter Strzok. Not only was he responsible for the Hillary Clinton investigation email server, he also was responsible for the so-called Trump-Russian collusion investigation. Remember, he's in the FBI. He was fired. And initially, he worked for Special Counsel Mueller. I call him Three Sticks, the third. But he was partisan. And that's the common thread here. There is a group of people in various agencies that are partisan. In other words, they clearly want and wanted Hillary Clinton to win and were shocked and dismayed when he won, as many people were. And that's something I also need to emphasize. Most people, especially Democrats and many, many Republicans, thought that Hillary Clinton was going to win. You could take it to the bank. Unfortunately, that proved wrong on Election Day, because Donald Trump won 306 electoral votes. He only needed 270. He might not have had a landslide victory, but he certainly had a mandate, and he won fair and square. Can't say that about Hillary Clinton, and you'll see this in a minute. So what was happening? And you need to understand, part one was to clear Hillary Clinton so she could run successfully, and the expectation, the outcome was, or they thought the outcome would be, that Hillary Clinton would be the next president. That's important because they thought they could get away with what they were doing. In other words, what I'm going to be talking about would never see the light of day, because today we would have President Hillary Clinton. Well, all those plans went down the tubes on Election Day. And then I think a certain amount of panic set in and a certain amount of attempting to cover their tracks set in. But during the run-up to Election Day, there was an effort to come up with the knockout punch that would really take out Donald Trump as a candidate for president. And what do they do? What do most politicians do? They try to find out as much about their opponent as possible, ideally find out information of either an embarrassing nature or a criminal nature that, if it came out, would defeat the candidate. And ideally, they would like that information to come out a week or two before Election Day, the first Tuesday in November. So that's why we have the so-called October surprise. Now, everyone thought that they already had that in the bag, the Hollywood tapes, where even Republicans were saying that Donald Trump should leave the ticket and let Mike Pence be the head of the ticket. But Donald Trump stuck it out. He won the next debate. He's a fighter, and he kept on campaigning, and we know the results. But what happened to that second October surprise that, in a way, was insurance? See, they thought they already had enough dirt. And many people, I'll even say, when I heard those revelations, I said, this is going to severely damage Donald Trump. And I think it did. Not fatally, but did damage him. That's the Hollywood access is what I'm referring to. I'm not going to get into it other than to say that was deliberately thought to be the October surprise that would get him. It didn't happen. Now, the second surprise that never happened was they paid for opposition research. The Hillary Clinton campaign paid their law firm, Perkins Coie, a lot of money, and they in turn paid Fusion GPS, that does opposition research, and they paid money to a former intelligence officer of MI6, the equivalent of the rough equivalent of the United States Central Intelligence Agency. He had retired several years before and set up his own firm with another gentleman. And he knew Russia, had contacts in Russia. So he tried to gather information, any rumors that he could, on what Donald Trump was doing in Russia. He got a total of 17 bits of information. He would characterize it as raw intelligence. I would characterize it as disinformation, fiction, manufactured. And he wouldn't vouch for it, and there was no way to verify it. But what he did is he took all this information that he gathered and put it into a memo. I think it's a 35-page memo, and you can go online and read it if you want. That's the famous golden showers where supposedly Donald Trump paid prostitutes to urinate on the bed that supposedly Barack Obama slept in with his wife when he was in Russia. There was no way to verify this information, although they tried to peddle it first to various news organizations. Again, remember, this is before the election. They were hoping that the press would publish it before the election. This would be a second surprise, an October surprise. But none of the news organizations would bite because they could not substantiate any of it. It was unverified information, dressed up as an intelligence report. And this gentleman, Christopher Steele, had credibility with the FBI and the CIA. Because remember, he worked for British intelligence, and the CIA and British intelligence have generally a good relationship. So he was a very credible source. But you have to consider who was the real source of this information. There's no way to even identify him, for that matter, verify it. This is, in court, this would be called hearsay evidence. So the news organizations refused during the election period to publish this. In other words, this was an unreliable report. You couldn't really go public with it. They came up dry. Now, what happened after Hillary Clinton lost? They continued in the FBI, Department of Justice, information, even when after Christopher Steele was terminated in early November of 2016, information was back-channeled to the FBI, Department of Justice, through Bruce Ohr, who was at the time the number four person in the FBI, a high-level government executive in the FBI. Now, he's been demoted several times. Frankly, he should be fired and prosecuted. We'll see what happens. And yes, he's gone down in grade. But he was passing information from Christopher Steele to the FBI and also subsequently to who? The Mueller investigation. Now, that information, remember, was paid for by the Hillary Clinton campaign and the Democratic National Committee. Yes. And the people involved in this activity were partisan. They favored Hillary Clinton, and they despise now President Trump, and that includes Christopher Steele. So they use this as a basis during the election, not after, to get what's called a FISA warrant, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. There was an act called the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. That act set up a court. It's a unique court because when the FBI Department of Justice goes to this court, there's no one from the other side. They're doing it to get a warrant to surveil foreign agents, primarily engaged in espionage. So not over 99.97% of the time, it's like a rubber stamp. These applications are proofed. Amazing, isn't it? That meant they used this, what's been called and labeled the Steele dossier. Initially, it was the Russian Trump dossier. I labeled it the dirty dossier. It was dirty, folks. It was designed to smear the reputation of then-candidate Trump and now President Trump, and trying to make the case he was colluding, conspiring with the Russians. There's been absolutely no evidence of that. But they use this. They could not. The FBI, and Comey has said this, the information is scandalous, and we couldn't check it out. You're not supposed to present to the court something that you haven't checked out, verified. But they did. They used this as the cornerstone to get the warrant. And that's what they've been hiding or trying to hide now for over 2 years. But this was used, and they got the warrant. And not only once, twice, three times it was renewed, a total of four times. Now, they were spying on a gentleman called Carter Page. They have not charged Carter Page with anything, but they were using Carter Page because for a while, a short period of time, he worked on the Trump campaign as a volunteer, because he had knowledge of Russia and oil. But in the past, Carter Page had helped when he had business in Russia. He would come back and he would be debriefed by not only the FBI, but also the Central Intelligence Agency. He's a former naval officer, but they were smearing him as well. They were using this. They really didn't care about Carter Page. But they needed Carter Page to, in turn, spy, surveil on anybody he communicated with. And he communicated with people in the Trump campaign. That's how this was used as justification to do surveillance on American citizens, mainly now the President of the United States and the people involved in this campaign. This is not only abuse of power. The people involved in this, both at the Justice Department and the FBI, were perpetuating a fraud on the FISA court. Judges normally don't like this, but this is a rather unique court. And now it's come to light, and people are scurrying not to be damaged by this. And guess what? The current Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, he signed the third renewal. So there were a total of four times it went to the court. And at high level, you have to have this signed off, either the deputy level or the attorney general level, and the same for the FBI. And the people, the agents, have to make representations. Well, they were omitting some key information that, one, who paid for this? This wasn't intelligence. It wasn't even opposition research, but this was paid by the Clinton campaign and the Democratic National Committee. Do you think if a judge knew that, he would have approved this warrant? Well, maybe he would, because given that fact 99.97% of the time they approve it. No, it was an omission, a big omission. They knew about it, folks. It wasn't that they didn't know who paid for it. They just forgot to fully disclose in big letters, oh, by the way, this information was paid by the Clinton campaign and the Democratic National Committee. Do you think any judge would have approved that? No, they wouldn't have. And the FBI, the people that signed off on this, as well as the agents, knew it. That's why they hid it. You see, you're supposed to verify that the information you're presenting to the court, you corroborate it. They did not corroborate that information. They supposedly tried, but came up empty, just like the press. They wouldn't go forward with it for the simple reason they didn't want to be sued and have Trump win a big judgment against them. Now, it eventually came out in early 2017. I don't think I have time to get into that. But this is the key background that you got to know. Now, who was involved in this? Obviously, the person that was in charge of both the Hillary Clinton investigation and the Trump-Russian collusion investigation, namely Peter Strzok. They were partisans. They wanted and thought Hillary Clinton should win, and they thought if she would win, their careers in turn would prosper. And they really did not think at all that Donald Trump would win, but they were a little bit nervous. They needed an insurance policy. So what was the insurance policy? Well, we learned a little bit more. Like every day, every week, we learn a little bit more as information comes out. We learned this week that the Department of Justice and the FBI had meetings to have a media leaking strategy on the information they had on Trump from this dossier. And the head of the Freedom Caucus in Congress, Mark Meadows, a congressman, he wrote a letter to Rosenstein and disclosed that they have the messages between Peter Strzok and Lisa Page. Now, Lisa Page was an attorney, high-ranking attorney in the FBI, and she was having an affair with Peter Strzok. And they did not want Hillary Clinton to lose, and they wanted Donald Trump to be defeated. But once he became president, now we're talking, there's a lot more to this. And I'm going to skip over what they did in 2016 and jump ahead to April 10th of 2017. Peter Strzok text messaged Lisa Page the following message. I had literally just gone to find this phone to tell you you want to talk. I want to talk to you about media leak strategy with the DOJ before you go. What does this tell you? The DOJ and the FBI had a media leak strategy. They were leaking news, information, not complimentary, but derogatory about now President Trump. Now, according to Mark Meadows, the next day, the Washington Post, and you can check out, I didn't put the Washington Post article, broke a story on the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act FISA warrant application on Carter Page. Carter Page didn't do any wrong. They were using Carter Page to get to Trump. He's really a victim here, and he has a lawsuit, and I hope he wins a lot of money. I hope he takes, it's hard to win money at the government or even these individuals on this. But if anyone deserves a lot of money for the aggravation that the FBI and the Department of Justice have done to damage his reputation, it is Carter Page. Now, according to Meadows, Strzok then congratulated his FBI colleague. This is in a text message. Well done, Page. Now, why would he say that? Because they leaked stories and they got published. Now, what Meadows wants is a complete and full investigation into this. It appears that at high levels of the Department of Justice and the FBI, they've been doing this for years, folks, have been leaking information to the press to damage people's reputations. And that's what they did here. To quote from the letter, he's talking about the FBI and the Department of Justice, have a systematic culture of media leaking by high-ranking officials at the FBI and Department of Justice related to ongoing questions. Oh, yes, they do. And we're seeing it here. This is the new information. This is a lot of the information that the FBI and the Department of Justice have been dragging their feet on. They didn't want this exposed because it's leading higher and higher and higher. You see, people don't do this on their own hook because if they do, they're damn fools. They made sure that the people above them wanted them to do it, and they did it. And that's one of the reasons James Comey was fired and Andrew McCabe. But there are a lot of other people involved. What I think is going to happen and should happen is that Donald Trump should release, and Congress senators and representatives have asked him, as well as talk show hosts, Rush Limbaugh even. other than sources and methods, the FISA applications should be completely released to the public. And President Trump has the authority to declassify them. He could do the whole thing. It's up to him. Now, when do you think he should do it? Now, people have been calling on President Trump to do it many months ago. This is not new, folks. Lay it out. Let the American people read what the Department of Justice and the FBI were up to. Read the whole thing, including what's in it is what? The Christopher Steele dossier in living color. You see, we have here the police state at work. We have a secret surveillance spying state. And who are the actors? The intelligence community, including the FBI Department of Justice. And they spied not only Carter Page. He was just the pretext. They were spying on the American people and the Republican candidate for president using government resources and trying to get away with it, provide some cover with this FISA application, which is bogus. It's fraudulent. They were engaged in criminal activity and should not only lose their jobs, they should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. It hasn't happened yet. And let me say something for new listeners. I'm not a Democrat and I'm not a Republican. I didn't vote for Hillary Clinton, and I certainly didn't vote for Donald Trump. I'm very much for limited government, a representative government under the United States Constitution. And the Democratic Party and the Republican Party are big government parties. And what has happened is the big government is out of control. They're partisans engaged in activity, criminal activity. They're trying to cover up criminal activity. And that's why I and many other people, including senators and representatives, are demanding that President Trump instruct Attorney General Jeff Sessions, he should do it by himself, to appoint a special counsel to investigate not only the FISA warrant situation, but also the investigation of Hillary Clinton, and clean the mess up at the Department of Justice and the FBI. This is a corrupt Department of Justice and FBI that needs to be cleaned up. And you can't have them investigate themselves. They're not capable of it. It has to be someone that's independent. I am not do not favor at all special counsels. But in this instance, if there's any instance that's crying out for someone outside the Department of Justice, outside the FBI, to hire his own investigators and attorneys and thoroughly examine what went on. There's a lot here, folks. And what is Big Lie Media doing? It's not covering. Oh, yes, talk radio is very much covering. Sean Hannity at Fox News is covering it. So is Tucker Carlson at Fox News and others. This is the biggest political scandal in the history of the United States, and our so-called press is not in any way trying to connect the dots. They are people that are. And if you go to my show notes, John Solomon for one and Sarah Carter for another, there are some investigative journalists still out there that have integrity that are doing their jobs together with some in the House and the Senate that are investigating this. But they can investigate and report all they want. You need someone that has the power to prosecute, impanel a grand jury, go to the grand jury with the evidence, to get indictments against the many people that are involved in this conspiracy. I've just hit part of it. Because, see, what happens when these warrants are approved, and they were approved in this case. They have conversations with people that were talking. For example, the Russian ambassador immediately comes to mind. But in past administrations, a new administration, whoever is, for example, the National Security Advisor, and initially that was Flynn, General Flynn, he was talking with the Russian ambassador. There's nothing wrong with that. He wasn't doing anything that past administrations didn't do. He wasn't out of line, despite what some would like you to think. And he didn't lie to the FBI. That's what James Comey said. You see, Peter Strzok and another agent interviewed General Flynn early on in the Trump administration. And he relayed what he remembered of the conversation. And they have to write a report. And they did that. They didn't believe he lied. They didn't tell him that they had verbatim transcript. That's what they had. They were trying to catch him in a lie, but they didn't. Yet, Mueller got him to plea to lying to the FBI. That has still not been resolved. If I were General Flynn, I know why he pled to that. He ran out of money. He lost his house trying to defend himself. See, this is the danger of having a police state, and that's what we have still. Rogue criminal government officials in the Department of Justice and the FBI going after the political opposition. It stinks, folks. It should make any American citizen, no matter what their party affiliation, outraged. Because, ladies and gentlemen, it could be you and me. And we're waiting and waiting and waiting for Jeff Sessions to appoint the special counsel. And I'll tell you something, if he doesn't do it fast, and I mean ideally before the election, he should be fired. My patience with a man that I have great respect for is at an end. There's a mess in the DOJ and the FBI that needs to be cleaned out. And the only person that truly could clean it out is someone that is independent of both the FBI and the Department of Justice. And that is going to have to be another special counsel, as much as I don't like special counsels, because they tend to go on and on and on, like the Mueller investigation, which I firmly believe should never have happened. There's no basis for it. So, ladies and gentlemen, we learned this week that apparently the Department of Justice and the FBI were formulating a media leaking strategy and implementing it with a number of news sources. To do what? To damage the presidency of Donald Trump. Remember, this is in 2017. Donald Trump is president, and they're still doing it. Like the Mueller investigation, they're still doing it. They haven't come up with anything. It should have ended weeks ago, if not months. Frankly, it's illegitimate. It needs to end. It should end. And hopefully, if the Republican Party controls both the House and the Senate after the midterm elections, then it's long past due for Donald Trump to finally act and clean up and get rid of the Attorney General and the Deputy Attorney General, but more importantly, get rid of Mueller and his crew. Just order the Deputy Attorney General to fire him, and if he refuses, fire him, and then order the Attorney General to fire Mueller, and if he refuses, then fire him. The American people are outraged because what they were doing was spying on American citizens. Yes, they were involved in the Trump campaign. So what? It never should have been happening. They abused the FISA court. The FISA court failed the American people because it was deliberately misled by omissions but from the FBI and the Department of Justice by not disclosing, first of all, who paid for it, and the fact that the person who wrote this report, Christopher Steele, in a British court, said, there's no way to verify this. This is so-called raw intelligence. It was fiction, folks. It was fabricated disinformation from Russian agents, and it was used to smear Donald Trump. It needs to end. And the people that were abusing their positions and doing engaged in activity like this shouldn't have a job. Oh, they should lose their security clearance. They should lose their job and their pension. They should be prosecuted. And then nothing's happened. It's the old good boy network. We have to protect, circle the wagons and protect the Department of Justice and the FBI. Please, these people went beyond making mistakes. This is not a mistake. These are deliberate actions to undermine, subvert the President of the United States. They should not get away with it. And let me remind you that this goes right into the White House because the National Security Advisor, Susan Rice, together with others in the Obama administration, were unmasking the identities of American citizens as a result of this warrant being approved. And they had to go back to the agencies that came up with the information, namely the National Security Agency, as well as the FBI, and request the unmasking. They got it. And they passed the information around and made sure that all 16 entities in the intelligence community had access to it. This goes right into the Oval Office, because do you think all the people would do this if the President of the United States didn't want it done and had not passed the word through his messenger, his closest advisor, Valerie Jarrett? She didn't like Hillary Clinton. After she left, she launched half a dozen investigations trying to come up with dirt on her, and she did. But she was also involved with passing the word to Hillary Clinton that Barack Obama would support her. They got her, Hillary Clinton, out from under an FBI investigation, and they were trying to come up with damaging goods that would destroy, evidence that would destroy Donald Trump, preferably before the election. They struck out, and they continue to do it. And after they left, Donald Trump came in, but the moles, the partisans of the Democratic Party for Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, were still there, and they were still trying to smear, damage President Trump. It's about time that President Trump clean house and clean up the reputation of the Department of Justice and the FBI. And if Attorney General Jeff Sessions is not up to it, and really all he has to do is appoint a special counsel, then find someone else that he has confidence in. I think he's going to move on it after the midterm election. And he should really declassify not only the FISA applications, but a lot of the information that the House of Representatives and the Senate have been requesting. A lot has been provided, I'll be the first to say, but not everything. They have tried to bury this by initially not providing the documents. That's why this thing keeps going on and on. There's no excuse for this. And let me caution the Trump administration. His supporters, and I'm not one of them, but his supporters keep on demanding, you've heard it, lock her up, lock her up. The people that voted for Donald Trump want Hillary Clinton and the people that assisted her prosecuted, investigated, and prosecuted. There's tons of crimes here. That's what happens when you have corrupt people high, at very high levels in the government, including the Department of Justice and the FBI. And it goes further, folks. The CIA was involved, as well as a limited extent the National Security Agency and others. In my mind, there's several dozen people that have real criminal exposure here. But nothing is going to happen until you appoint a special counsel that will investigate this and take it wherever the evidence leads. That's what they're really afraid of. So you can talk about it all you want on talk radio or Fox, but until someone with the authority to investigate, prosecute, subpoena people is designated, I'm not optimistic. But it's in President Trump's interest to get to the bottom of this. And I think in the next 60 days, we'll see what Trump is going to do, if anything. Now, there's one other story. I want to end on a more optimistic note. We got information today from the Department of Labor that the jobless claims, that's when the jobless claims are used as a proxy when people are laid off. Because once you're laid off, what do? You apply for unemployment benefits. So it's a good indication of the state of the economy and the labor market. And we got very good news that the number through September 8th was 204,000. Now, to put that in context, that's the lowest it's been in 50 years. That's good news, folks. People are out there hiring. That's why we have an unemployment rate, a U3 unemployment rate of 3.9%. There are many millions of people, though, that would go back to work if they could find a full-time, permanent, well-paid job. In my mind, there's at least 10 to 20 million people that want to work and will come back into the labor force if we follow and if we have economic policies that encourage business formation, capital formation. Because when you have those policies, such as tax cuts, you have entrepreneurs starting business and existing entrepreneurs expanding business, which means they hire many, many people. That's all good news. But when you have over 96 million people not in the labor force, of which at least 10 to 20% would come back under the right circumstances, we have a long way to go. But this is good news. It tells people, the message is, there are jobs out there, and people are applying and looking for jobs. That's what you want. You want people that are unemployed to start looking for jobs, and they are. Because to the extent that that happens, you'll see a lower and lower unemployment rates, both the U3 and the U6, which is about double the U3, approximately. That's what you want, lower and lower unemployment rates, but you also want an increase in the labor participation rate. And that's what will happen as the job market really, really tightens. And what that means is they have to offer more money to get experienced as well as inexperienced people that are not in the job market to enter or re-enter the job market. So this is a good report. It should keep going down. Now, what could spoil everything? Yes, another recession. And what could cause another recession? If Donald Trump does not, in the near future, come to agreement, new trade agreements with not only Canada, but with Europe, but also, more importantly, with communist China. That's simply going to take time, but they need to put pressure on mainly the communist Chinese. They're the worst offenders. And if they don't want to negotiate in good faith, that could lead to people being laid off in the United States. It will. So that's the only cloud, but it's a big cloud. And it's up to Donald Trump and his team to show us their negotiating skill and show us results. I think he can, but I think the communist Chinese will try to drag this out. They're definitely dragging it out past the midterms. So he needs to re-energize and really go to the American people and explain what the communist Chinese, how they've been taking advantage of the American people by stealing our intellectual property and other unfair trade practices. He needs to tell the American people at his rallies what his negotiating team is doing and cite chapter and verse. Otherwise, the communist Chinese might put the United States back into a recession. Now, that's not going to help them. But they know that President Trump is going to run again in 2020. So if they cannot quickly, and I mean within the next year, come to a mutually acceptable agreement, they're going to drag it out, again, hoping that the Democrats win in 2020. Thank you for listening, and now, my favorite song, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. With the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio. WordPress.com